With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Our hymns today are 825, 740, 728, 725, and 748. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled, How Often? And is taken from Luke 13, verse 31 through 35. Our radio broadcast this morning is sponsored in loving memory of Frosty and Aileen Dorman by their children and grandchildren. Thank you for remembering loved ones by sharing God's word with our radio listeners.
Good morning. It's so great to be back with all of you in our beautiful sanctuary. It looks absolutely wonderful, doesn't it? Thank you to everybody who participated and helped make that remodeling possible. I thought about waiting till the end of the service to do it, but since it's the elephant in the room, if you will, can we just go ahead and thank everybody for all of their hard work that they put into it, the Board of Properties, Dave, Susan, especially Curtis and Alan for all of their hard work to make this thing possible. Can we give them a big thank you? And of course, most of all, do we thank our wonderful God who has gathered us all here, who has blessed our congregation with many gifts, talents, and resources. Everybody who has come and donated their time, their labor, and all of their stuff to help make all of this possible, to, again, just beautify our worship experience, where we can really come together and glorify and praise God with our hearts, with our minds, and with our voices together. May we sing with thanksgiving our first hymn, number 825. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord. Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from the Word of God. Our Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 26. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant?'" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against the city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapters 3 and 4. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of light, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. How are you? Just facing the wrong way. Well, it's so good that you could join me up here today, a special day. But I brought a few things with me. I got them all in this paper bag here. Let's see. You know what this is, right? Scissors, exactly. What do we do with scissors? You cut things, and you cut paper, uh-huh. Do you ever play with scissors?
No.
No. Oh, you answered that pretty quickly, didn't you? Yeah, we don't play with scissors. Why don't you play with scissors?
Because it will cut you.
Yeah, it cuts paper, and it might cut you. You don't want to get an ouchie on your finger or anything. So, yeah, we don't really play with scissors. How about this? Yeah, this is a glass cup. Do you play with glass cups?
No.
Yeah, you'll break this, and then you're going to have glass, really sharp pieces of glass everywhere, and then you might step on it or something. You can never get all of those pieces. They seem to hide everywhere, and yeah, that might cut you. And then one last thing I have in here. Do you know what this is? This is a box, but inside the box. Do you know what these are? You know? Yeah, matches. So do we play with matches?
Nope.
No, exactly. Yeah, because, you know, matches, you know, they catch things on fire. That we leave them to adults, and or if we mess with them ourselves, we always want to make sure we have our parents around who are able to protect us and all of these things, but we never really play with any of these things because they're dangerous to us. Well, in our Old Testament reading, the first reading that we heard today, we saw a man named Jeremiah, and he came to Jerusalem, he came to the people of God, and he warned them about sin, about evil. People were messing around, doing all of these bad things. They wanted to enjoy, they wanted to play with stuff that is bad, they wanted to just... Rather than loving people, they wanted to take advantage of them. And that is harmful, not only to our neighbors, but that's harmful to us too. That's harmful to our hearts. It's harmful to our eternal future with God. Because sin has a way of destroying and causing a lot of harm to us. But What Jeremiah did come to say also is that there is a greater news out of all of this, that when we put away playing with all of these bad things, and when we come to God, and when we put our trust in Him, when we love Him dearly, we know that Jesus and God loves us dearly. Jesus has loved us so much that He came to die for us, to put that sin away from us, and to bring us eternally with Him, where we will live forgiven of sin and where we will live righteous in His sight forever. And so this is the great news that we can share in today. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for loving us, for giving us the good news that You have removed our sin from us. We ask that through Your Spirit's calling, we can put away all that is harmful to our bodies and soul. Help us to rather cling to You for all goodness and love, and bring us ultimately to You in paradise. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You can return back to your seats. And the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. I think one can often be amazed at the directness of Jesus, for He spoke both bluntly and forcibly. The crowd said about Him that He spoke as one having authority, and yet He remained ever compassionate, knowledgeable, and wise. So much so that the temple guards later had to be bewildered, saying amongst themselves, "Never had a man spoke like Jesus." It's interesting to note then those times when Jesus seems to speak in a paradox. There's many teachings of Christ that just seem to be beyond our understanding. And quite honestly, it makes sense. For not only does Jesus speak so bluntly and directly, but at the same time does he speak of spiritual things. He speaks about heavenly things and things unseen. He speaks about the invisible and in the infinite in ways so plain that many times it just has to appear to us as if they are contradictions. And in our gospel reading this morning, dear friends, we get one of those before us. Jesus says, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing." On the surface, it may not seem like a contradiction, but upon taking into account the whole of Scripture, it's impossible for our finite minds to fully comprehend this truth. Because how frequently does God say that he does not desire the death of the wicked? In fact, he has expressly said the exact opposite, and quite plainly, that he desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Elsewhere, he says that he has died for the whole world, offering forgiveness freely to all people. But not only that, dear friends, because simultaneously are we then further reminded about God's sovereignty. We're constantly being assured that God is almighty and that he is in control of all things. Time and again, God has proven sovereign in this world. He's sovereign in all of creation and even in the lives of people. For God works freely within their hearts, minds, and spirits to bring about his sovereign will. But that's where the paradox seems to come in, dear friends. For it comes up when we try putting those two teachings together. Because although God is sovereign and is compassionate, desiring all to be saved, somehow, though, we must admit and confess that not all people are saved. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. On the last day, rather, it is said that he will separate the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the chaff. He will gather his people to his side, and he will cast into outer darkness those who do not belong to him. It's certainly a paradox beyond our understanding that God is both the sovereign, has the sovereign ability, and the loving desire to save. And yet, simultaneously, we're told of the many multitudes who have fallen eternally down that pathway of destruction. And yet, although it's certainly beyond our ability to mesh those teachings together, we still stand on solid ground when we simply confess what God himself has spoken. For how can the finite man expect to comprehend the full complexities of the eternal God? How can limited man understand in full the finite workings and desires of the Lord Almighty? It might seem like a paradox to us, but that never stopped Jesus from teaching this same truth directly and plainly himself. And we get a good look at one such example in our gospel reading this morning. "How often," Jesus says, "would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing." Notice here how the eternally good and sovereign God places the destruction of man upon their own free will. Notice further how God doesn't take any credit for man's destruction. For God destines no one to death. He works salvation, and he wills salvation. In fact, he is utterly sovereign in the salvation of man. For truly has the Lord done all the work from beginning to end, and he alone gets the glory. For it was the Father who predestined and loved you. It was the Son who died for you, opening up the way to paradise. Man isn't even credited with the decision to be saved. For truly are we told that it is the Spirit who calls them and puts that spark of faith within them wherever he so pleases. It's as our own catechism teaches that I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him, but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and he's kept and preserved me in the one true faith. Yet even with that, notice once again where God does put the destruction, the fault of man's destruction. How often I willed, but you were not willing. Man's destruction isn't due to an unwillingness in God. How often I would have gathered you, he said. Nor is it due to some lack of ability or strength in Christ. For his blood is and preeminent concerning all things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. The destruction of man lies not in anything lacking in God. Rather, again, paradoxically, it lays firm at the feet of man. For I was willing, he says, but you were not. Truly, the great destroyer of man's souls has proven to be nothing less than the human will itself. The human will is the destroyer and devourer of the multitudes. When sinners get cast into the outer darkness, it's because they themselves were willing to go there. They've rejected the God who has opened for them paradise. And when they get condemned by the judge who must do right, it's because they simply willed to chase after sin. The pronouncement that must haunt and follow them through eternity will be, "You would not." For the Lord will take no credit in the destruction of man. For again, man stands alone, 100% accountable for their own ruin. Well, dear friends, at this time, do I want us to look at this metaphor before us itself? For found within our gospel text, God gives us a picture illustrating his own loving kindness towards you. And here we see just how tender-hearted God is, going so far as to compare himself to a hen. Traditionally, a hen doesn't really have a reputation for being anything grand. It's neither the strongest nor is it the most beautiful of animals. Quite honestly, when you think of a hen, I think most people tend to think of them as rather dull and dim-witted creatures. And yet we see the love of Jesus as he should stoop so low as to compare himself to a hen as to teach us about himself. Though he is indeed infinitely greater, infinitely more beautiful, wiser, and stronger, he yet humbly lowers himself to use such a metaphor as this. For he is a compassionate God seeking to reveal himself to you using such an instructive metaphor. The mighty God himself stoops to make himself known by man and makes himself known in the humblest of ways by again comparing himself to a lowly creature. Well, dear friends, if Christ himself should humble himself so far as to do that, then we must be prepared to see something that's very instructive in this metaphor. Which, in fact, I want to briefly go over three things that this metaphor teaches us this morning. And while I'm sure there are dozens of blessings that one can glean from such a beautiful metaphor as this, this morning I want to focus on just three. The first blessing that we find within this metaphor is that in Christ do God's people find a happy bout. Then you must notice first there's all of Christ in the brood, the church. You don't have to read scripture long before you realize that we are saved into a family. For we are brought into the body of Christ. He who comes to Jesus in faith shall find in the midst of the church brothers and sisters and mothers. When we are saved and brought into God's family, Scripture shouldn't have us thinking that we ourselves are lone, saved sheep. Rather, we are sheep who, when saved, are saved and brought into the flock of God. When we're saved, we are from there on described always as belonging to the one body. Many members, Paul says, but one body. We're said to be a holy family and one temple built of many stones. It's amazing how easy it is for people in today's world to feel lonely and isolated. Even in a room full of people, individuals can find themselves feeling totally alone. Whether it's city living or country living, it seems so hard today for many people to feel connected to loved ones. In fact, I've heard it expressed this way, that nobody seems to know anybody. At least that is until you have something to give away. And then the number of cousins that you suddenly seem to have is amazing. But when you need anything, again, nobody seems to know you. But dear friends, such is not the case, or definitely shouldn't be the case with us, with those who belong in God's flock. See Jesus as a hen gathering her chicks together. Under the mother's wing, those chicks chirp with delight. They seem to be the image and very emblem of happiness. All huddled together, the chicks dwell in a communal paradise together. They're together under the loving wing of their mother, and there they delight to chirp, sing, and dwell with one another. And as a church, dear friends, I pray that we too can share and enjoy in that blessing of God, caring for, loving, and cherishing one another. For Jesus should not have us feeling lonely, nor should we have anyone in our midst feeling alone. For truly has Jesus desired to gather us together as a hen gathers her chicks. The second blessing that's found within this metaphor is when we think upon how a hen provides safety to her chicks. A hen simply gives a call, and the chicks come running towards her. They have nothing to bring. They simply come running at the beck and call. The hen gives the cluck, and the chicks run for safety under her wing. There may be a hawk in the sky, but under her wings, the chicks are protected and secure, for she is to them a shield and a buckler. I don't know if you've ever seen a hen protecting her chicks. Usually when a hen is confronted, she is a most timid of animals. A hen by herself will waddle herself away if a stranger walks too closely. But such is not the case when she feels that her own chicks are in danger. She may be timid at any other time of the day, but when her chicks are involved, dear friends, then does she puff up and fight the good fight. We know that the mighty God has never been timid himself, for he is afraid of no man, and even the rulers of darkness are subject to him. And if such is the case, then you can guarantee all the more that he shall certainly not be timid when you, his beloved son and daughter, are in danger yourselves. You who belong to the Almighty, what a blessing it is to rest yourself in the mighty God. Although we are at times as frail as chicks, we have no comprehension of the power and might that's found in the one who covers you with his sovereignty. And the last blessing that we have time to discuss this morning is to see how God is to us a source of comfort. A chick finds warmth in the bosom of its mother. It may be a cold night. They could possibly even freeze if they were to remain outside. The cold, in fact, could nip them dead. And yet, under the wings of the hen, do the chicks find endless comfort. They feel the warmth of their mother's heart beating upon them. Whether snow or rain, the chicks are under the protection of the hen, and there do they enjoy the boundless comfort which that brings. Dearly beloved, how often would Jesus gather you in this way as a hen does gather her chicks? It's a deep, sweet comfort to hide yourself under the shadow of the Almighty. For when troubles come, when tribulation and waves come time and again, blessed is the man who has God to give him mercy upon mercy. For Jesus is the cure of fear and anxiety. Hundreds of times, in fact, does the Lord repeat himself in Scripture, saying, "Fear not." He repeats it so because we seem to so often forget it. Yet he assures us daily that there is no reason to fear. Look into the eyes of him who suffered and bled for you. Taste the body and blood given to you in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And hear again the old, old story of Christ shedding his blood and dying for you. See Christ himself giving himself to suffer and die in your place. And know that there is no unwillingness in him to be your all in all. Jesus is to be to you a fountainhead of blessing and security. Seek first Christ and his kingdom, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Jesus should gather you to his bosom as a hen gathers her chicks. Look at his love towards you, suffering and bleeding in your place, and come unto him and be comforted with that perfect love which casts out all fear. For truly the Lord desires no harm to come upon you. Dear friends, when Christ compares himself to a hen, we are reminded of the blessings that we enjoy as the children of God. For these blessings are ours when the Spirit of God puts the flame of faith and desire within us. How often I would have gathered you, he said. It's never a part of unwillingness with the Lord, for he is always willing to forgive and to bless. If there is a spark of desire ever found in the human heart, then rest assured, then there was first and always has been a whole flaming furnace of desire in Christ's heart for you. Never can a sinner be more anxious for pardon than Christ should be anxious to forgive you. No one shall ever prove more hungry for righteousness than Christ shall prove hungry for the salvation of man's soul. And as we'll see next week, dear friends, as I close, we will see the parable of the prodigal son, the father running faster than how angels trod, the father falling upon the neck of his now returned son. Christ surely desires your salvation, desires to gather you under his wings. And most graciously, dear friends, he has made your way sure in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 725. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Most gracious Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and loving us since before the foundation of the world. You have loved us with an everlasting love. We ask that you would lead us to ever praise your name and to rest in the sure confidence that we have in you. For you are a God of love, and you have made us to receive your many blessings. Continue to gather us together, pouring out your many blessings upon us as your children. And help us to live as a community of saints, helping, supporting, and encouraging one another with your word and truth. Lead us in compassion to help and provide for those in need. And lead us to do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, lead us to believe and confess all that you have revealed to us. Even when your truth pushes the bounds of our understanding, lead us to take you at your word. For truly, as you say, you are a God who cannot lie. You are a God full of grace and truth. And according to your word, we ask that you would lead us to believe and confess that you are sovereign in all things, that you are one God in three persons, that you physically come to us in your presence with the Lord's Supper. When reason would prove to be a stumbling block to faith, continue to work and call us in the true faith by your Holy Spirit, and bring us ultimately to confess and share the truth with those who have you have put around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all comfort, continue to send your peace upon us that surpasses all understanding. Lead us to rest securely in the truth, and lead us to sing and praise you for that truth, that you are our mighty fortress and strong tower. Continue to protect us from all harm and danger, defend us from the evil one, and all the while we ask that you would lead us also to resist temptation and to cling ever tightly to you. Move your spirit within us to reject the ways of sin and death, and to turn to enjoy your loving kindness all the days of our life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, you are full of compassion, wisdom, and strength. Be to your people their source of strength and healing. We lift before your throne, especially this morning, Randy Brandt, as well as Truman and Janet Kirshner. We ask that you would continue to provide for the Kirshner family, spiritually, mentally, and physically. For as they suffer loss of property from a house fire this past Wednesday, we ask that you would be working in their midst to move them through this difficult time on solid ground, trusting in you. Surround them also with family and friends and loved ones to support them. And gracious Lord, in your sovereignty, we ask that you would use even this to be for our good. Through sorrow and heartbreak, lead all your people to come together, helping and supporting each other and clinging ever closer to you. And we again lift before you, Holy God, Randy Brandt. We thank you that his clarity of mind is coming around as he had suffered from an allergic reaction from the anesthesia. As he's getting back to himself, we ask that you would continue to be working in him now to strengthen and heal him since he had received a full hip replacement earlier. We ask that you would also be with Janet, his wife, to strengthen her also and to continue living a life of full of sacrifice and love for her family. And lastly, Lord, do we lift before you all who are hurting in mind and body and spirit, for all who are on our prayer list, and for all who we name silently now upon our hearts. Be with your children to provide for them so that they may continue to live, praising you all the days of your life and giving you glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.